Thanks for listening to Stokely and Zach On Demand. Before Zach tells us who is moonwalking in the Hall of Fame today, have you subscribed to our podcast? Subscribe everywhere you get your podcast or at 1043thefan.com.
It's Stokely and Zach on Sports Radio 1043 The Fan.
All right, having a rather morbid conversation, but since we had the jolly version on Thursday or Friday, it's only right that you flipped a coin.
Yeah, and we got to do both.
That's right.
We got to do both.
Trying to be fair.
Yes.
Last week, we tried to have a pragmatic discussion, so a realistic, without emotion discussion, a best-case scenario for Drew Lock and Teddy Bridgewater. Good conversation. If you missed it, it's available on the Stokely and Zach podcast at DenverFan.com. Now we turn the coin. What's the realistic worst-case scenario? We just talked about Teddy. All right? Now we look at Drew. The 2021 season, what would a realistic worst-case scenario look like for Drew Lock in year three?
Worst-case scenario, Drew Lock. He gets hurt again, gets banged up, has to miss two or three games when he has a starting job, right? Can't stay healthy. That becomes a theme now for another year. And you just pretty much copy and paste. You know how to copy and paste?
Yeah.
His 2020 season, and you fast forward to 2021. Doesn't reach 3,000 yards, and pretty much has the 1-to-1 touchdown to interception ratio of 15 touchdowns, 15 interceptions. You know, his past year he had 16. And then, you know, you're one of the worst in QBR in the league. I mean, that's worst case scenario. That's how bad it was last year. So if we see a similar performance, it was awful. He led the league in interceptions, 15 of them things. So if you go 1-to-1, you don't throw 30 touchdowns, you can't throw 15 interceptions. So copy and paste, Zach, of what we saw last year. He got hurt, led the league in lowest QBR, led the league in interceptions.
And completion percentage.
Yes, all of that bad stuff. And you just pasted it through 2021. I mean, that's worst case scenario in my mind. I can't see it being worse than that.
So, very interesting you answered it like that. Because it brings up a question about 2020. I did this in my own mind, like just a mental exercise last week when we were doing the first segment. And it begs the question. At the start of last season, we said it's not about the Broncos getting to the playoffs or winning the Super Bowl. It's about evaluating Drew Lock. And if you see enough from Drew at the end of the year that you're willing to continue to go down the road with him, then that's a successful season. I just asked you about the worst case scenario for the following year, and it's the exact scenario from 2020. So that leads to another question. In Drew Lock's opportunity to be the franchise quarterback, did we, in the most literal sense, see the worst case scenario? He couldn't stay healthy for a second consecutive year. He literally led the league in picks, was dead last in completion percentage in a year in which the NFL had the highest completion percentage in the history of the sport and the least amount of interceptions in the history of the sport. Did we literally see the worst case scenario in his 1 year audition?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know how it could have been worse. And you won how many games? Five?
Five. Went five. The team's 5-11, picking in the top 10.
The team won five games. I just don't know how it could have been worse. I really don't. It would have been hard to be worse than that. Now, we can, you know, you can look at certain things and justify why it was so bad.
Yep.
You know, lack of an offseason, got it. New offense, got it. A lot of drops.
Yep.
Got it from a lot of young players around him also. He wasn't, you know, part of a veteran team. His best wide receiver got hurt. A lot there that you can throw and say why. This is why it's happened. Let's give him another year, and all these things now will be cleared up, and hopefully he'll play better. But certainly, yes, that was what we saw last year, and that audition was awful. That's what the numbers tell me.
Yep.
The numbers tell me, and my eyes told me it also. There was moments. There were just too few of them.
Yeah.
And there has to be moments, or he wouldn't even be in the competition. So, I mean, that's like the
it's such a low bar.
The lowest of low bars.
Yeah.
Like, did he have any? Oh, remember the Chargers fourth quarter? Well, I was thinking, you know, a half of a quarter or whatever. Yeah, it was magical. But that you know, then what happened the next game? I think that was a Falcons game, maybe, and they were awful.
It was.
So, like, you never backed it up. It had a, you know, nice Chargers game part two. And Judy was dropping everything. And they could have won that game if Judy catches that late one, the post. It was a great throw.
Yep.
But you just got to, that's the thing here. I mean, you got to be more consistent playing the quarterback position. You need consistency there. You can't have just a few moments. And we didn't, obviously, that's what we were looking for last year. We just didn't see enough of the moments. But I think when you look at what we saw last year, yeah, I mean, it was, when you take a step back and you just remove all emotions and you take all of the other stuff out of the equations and you look at the stats and you look at where they're ranked, it was, you look at he couldn't stay healthy again. It was horrendous. Atrocious. With an H. That means it was really bad, Zach.
It was about five quarters. Four against Carolina. The one in the fourth quarter against the Chargers.
Yeah. Outside there you go. That Carolina game.
Yeah.
That Carolina game.
He was good.
He was really good. He was really good.
But even in wins like against the Miami Dolphins, when, you know, they weren't supposed to beat Miami, the Broncos upset them 20-13, you know, didn't throw a touchdown, did throw a pick. Just, again, just not quite good enough. But to this conversation, I'm looking forward to a competition, because this is just the hand we're dealt, okay? This is what it is. So I'm looking forward to these guys going head-to-head.
Mm-hmm.
What does it look like? What do the preseason games look like? But when I ask about a realistic worst-case scenario, and you, and I agree with you, you tell me it looks like 2020, where he can't stay healthy, leads the league in picks, dead last in completion percentage for one of the worst teams in the sport. If you're in the camp of, I've seen enough, this guy should not be in a quarterback competition at all. He is a non-first round pick that had a worst case scenario in his full season of audition. I think you're very fair to feel like that.
Yes, absolutely. And Drew Locke is, how fortunate and blessed
oh my
is
gosh.
He to even be in a competition? What other teams would he still be in the mix in like a 50-50 competition, Zach? This is a one-off, one of one.
Yep.
I guarantee you, there is no other place where he would be, he'd play as bad as he played, going into his third year, not his second, his third year. He got to play in 13 games, and all of a sudden the following year, like a whole year, you're going to be in a 50-50 competition with Teddy Bridgewater? Like, you're not in some kind of competition with, you know, I don't know. Name some stud. It's Teddy Bridgewater. So this is as good of an outcome as you could have expected. I mean, there's no way that they were handing this thing over to him again. We knew that early on. There was no chance of that. And for just to beat Teddy Bridgewater, that's it? Man, hey.
What an opportunity.
Oh, my gosh.
It is a golden ticket.
It is.
It's seriously a golden ticket. Because I've asked the question here probably four times since the Broncos season ended. Find me another example in NFL history where a non-first-round quarterback, okay, so you got to check these boxes, non-first-round quarterback that leads the league in picks, dead last in completion percentage for a five-win team or less, plays the next year. It just doesn't happen. It just doesn't happen in the NFL. It doesn't happen in any sport, by the way.
Right. Do you see the turnover with quarterbacks now, too? And how many quarterbacks are available for trade now? It's so different. And so in today's age where you're seeing, you know, Matthew Stafford and Jared Goff being traded, you're seeing these free agents move, Carson Wentz get traded, I mean, Phillip Rivers last year. I mean, you're just seeing so much turnover at the quarterback position that for it not to be a huge upgrade and say, well, Drew, you're going to be the backup, and something has to happen to the starter, whether it was Wentz or Stafford, somebody like that, it could have been very easily. But no, it's Teddy Bridgewater. And you got a 50-50 competition to try to win this thing. So he, look, Drew Locke is in a, and this is the NFL, man. This thing moves on from you very quickly in today's age like never before. And for a second round quarterback to have another opportunity like this, and he realizes it. And that's what I appreciate about it. He realizes it. I mean, you can, I was reading Kliss's article on him, and you can just tell, and we've talked about it, he's grinding his rear end off this offseason. Yep. He realizes how important it is and that how precious this opportunity is, and he's not going to Paxton Lynch it. There you go. Beat you to it.
Bingo. Bingo. You did. You know I wanted to shoehorn it in there. And I knew you remembered when they went out to San Francisco, and it was 50-50, and I asked you the question, does Paxton realize the very fickle position that his career is in? And the answer was no.
That's right.
And that has only bared more fruit over the years.
Yep.
Drew knows.
He knows.
Drew
knows. And so it's gonna. I'm happy. I'm happy for him that he's getting this opportunity.
Heck yeah.
And I know you are, too.
Let's see it.
Right.
Let's
so
see it.
Hopefully, you know, he's putting a lot of work in. Hopefully, you know, it can happen. It can happen.
All right, a good conversation. If you want to react to it, you can hit us up on the RamosLaw.com text line, 303-713-1043. A familiar Broncos face is in an unfamiliar place. Tell you who we're talking about coming up next.
You are listening to Stokely and Zach on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
A familiar Broncos face is in an unfamiliar place. Just as we were getting off the air on Friday, it was announced that our guy, Jake Butt, has signed with the Chicago Bears. Now,
love it.
If you told me, you know, 4 months ago, that, hey, I've been to the future, Jake Butt's going to be in orange and blue catching passes from Justin Fields.
Uh-huh.
I say, oh, that's exciting.
Uh-huh.
But not so fast. It's going down in Chicago.
Good for him, man.
What'd you make of that signing?
I love it. I think everybody's pulling for Jake Butt. How could you not? He was just a, did everything right and just bad luck. Just couldn't stay healthy. And it's, you know, I've had my fair share of injuries, and it's tough. I never had injuries on top of an injury, which he has had, you know, over and over consecutive years. Mentally, it's just grinding. You just lose the fun gets taken out of football. All you're doing is rehabbing. You're not even around your teammates much. And once you get healthy, then you get hurt again. So he's had a tough go of it. And so, just for him to get another chance, he wanted that chance and that opportunity, so good for him. We'll see how it plays out for him. I don't think anybody, you know, I've kind of lost hope that, you know, he's going to make a football team, but stranger things have happened.
Yeah.
I kept holding out hope here, and it just never happened, but he's getting an opportunity. Maybe he can stay healthy, and maybe he can do it. We'll see. It's a new offense for him, fresh set of eyes there, and hopefully it works out. Who's not pulling for Jake Butt?
Yeah. Yeah. It'll be just a little side story to follow. His chances of making the roster, you're going to like throw a percentage. You know, the tight end room is not the best in the league, right? It's like Cole Kmet, Jimmy Graham.
Cole Kmet was an early draft pick, I believe, last year out of Notre Dame. Second round pick, maybe. I'm just throwing it out there. Something like that. I mean, he was an early draft pick, though. They're hot.
I forgot where he was picked. I got it right here. He was a Notre Dame second round pick. Look at you, man. Second round pick, 43rd overall.
Right.
His first season, 243 yards and 2 touchdowns.
Okay.
It's Cole Kmet, Jimmy Graham.
Jimmy Graham, like, you know,
it paid him,
million,
right?
80 million guaranteed. 80 million. Well, you're like 35. You got 80 million. We'll just.
How old is Jimmy Graham? I feel like he's 34 years old. He's been around for a while.
Yeah, they overpaid him. But he had a lot of touchdowns last year. Okay.
He had 8
Who
of them.
Else?
After those two, I've never heard of these other guys. J.P. Holtz. I don't know that name. And Jasper Horst.
Mm.
I feel like you would have went to school with a Jasper.
Mm.
Down there in Louisiana.
Probably one or two. One or two, Jasper.
Jasper! Put that hog down. Come help me cut a switch here.
Chances that Jake Butt makes the Bears roster.
Well, once you gave me those names, I mean, why couldn't, I think Jimmy, Graham is probably, I think he's got guaranteed money, so he's going to be around. The other guy was second round pick. He's going to be there, but there looks like there is a possibility of a third spot being open. So chances of Jake Butt making the team, a lot has to go his way, obviously. But I'm going to go with 15%. Very low, because he's got to stay healthy. Then he's got to go out there and perform. And he hasn't been able to do it. 15%. You think that's low, high, or
I think
kinda...
it's right there in bounds. I'd say 10%. All right. Go just a little bit lower. You know, this has got to be a deal where, like, someone during the draft process that loved Jake Butt, you know, whether it's the tight ends coach or someone was like, man, I thought that kid was going to be awesome. He's no longer with the Broncos. Let's take a flyer on him and see what happens. There's really no downside for the Bears, right?
No,
got
not
some
at all.
Sort of minimum contract flyer.
Yep, and see if it works out. But yeah, very minimal risk for Chicago in this situation, and you got a chance to have high upside. And we've seen where change of scenery, and all of a sudden he stays healthy and he goes out there and makes a team, and could be making plays for him this year. So it'll be. Be interesting to see how it plays out. Pulling for him, though. Hopefully it works out. I mean, what a great story that would be.
That would be awesome.
I just act against him, but hey, all Jake Butt can ask for is an opportunity and a chance.
That's it.
After what he's been through.
He's lucky
and
to
that's
have
what
one.
He's got.
Yeah.
That's what he's got. They're hard to come by, but he's got a chance and an opportunity, and then hopefully it works out for the guy.
I'm hoping it does, obviously, but there is that. In no scenario would I ever be rooting against Jake Butt. I'm just pointing out the dynamic that, like, and I said this, I think, maybe a year ago or 6 months ago to you, that there will be a twinge of, I don't know what the emotion will be, or not emotion, but really a thought, that if he, like, he spent basically 4 years rehabbing here. Like, that was what his career with the Broncos was. How many receptions did Jake Butt have as a Bronco? Like, 8? Something like that? Like, really, he just did not see the field a lot.
No.
And it would be... again, I don't know how to quantify what the thought would be, but if he spent 4 years and the Broncos just kept on investing to get him right, and then it's, you know, that fifth year where he blossoms as a player in Chicago, or forget blossoms, just like contributes on a week-by-week basis, it would just be,
Yeah, it's okay, though. It's okay. I mean, we got Noah, we got Alberto, you know, I think I like what we have here. So if he goes out and plays well... Guess what? It wasn't going to happen here. It wasn't going to happen here. And we got Fumagalli. Let's not forget Fumagalli.
Forget him.
It wasn't going to happen here, right? And so if it happens somewhere else, good for him. But hey, you know, we got our guys. It just wasn't going to ever work out here.
Yeah.
We tried and tried and tried and tried.
Yeah. And someone here on the RamosLaw.com text line, put your name on it, give you a shout out. He said a butt was a bust here in Denver. I don't think you can put the bust label on him because he fell so far in the draft. He was initially fifth round pick. So you can't be a bust if you're a fifth rounder.
No.
There's a reason why you're there, and the reason why he was there continued to reveal itself, just not being able to stay healthy.
The one part of that really stings is Kittle was taken the next pick.
I think he was like the next tight end, or he was the next pick.
That George Kittle, the guy from Iowa, the guy that we see running around. Remember the guy that almost broke the tight end receiving yards record against us in Denver in the first half?
Hard to forget.
Remember that?
Yeah.
Against Coach Vance and Coach Woods' defense? Remember?
I do.
You didn't forget?
Did not forget.
That guy was taken like right after Jake Butt. And that's what stings. You know, that's what haunts you. It's like, okay, you take a flyer in the fifth round, perfect. But the guy that you could have had and you didn't pick is, you know, top two or top three in the NFL. And in a given week, he's the best. He's a nightmare. George Kittle. That's what stings. But, you know, you can't be a bust in the fifth round. I mean, you just can't. Because expectations are low for, I think, where does the bust label stop, Zach? I mean, where does it stop?
Where does the bust label stop? I think anywhere after the, You can't be a bust fourth rounder later. I think you can
be. I could have been a bust.
No, you couldn't have been a bust.
I mean, nobody knew who I was. There's no expectation. I think it's all about expectations. You can't have, like, great expectations for a fourth rounder.
I think for a third rounder, it's in play. If you're, like, a top 75 pick, you know, and you're the plan at that position, like drafting Royce Freeman out of Oregon, you know, you're the plan at that spot. I think you can be a bust as a third rounder.
Okay, third rounders are kind of 50-50. Second rounders, first rounders, second rounders, yes. Third round, it kind of just depends.
Yeah,
How about that?
Yeah.
Is that good?
Yeah, I like that.
I like that too.
Jake Butt taking pick 145. George Kittle taking pick 146.
Fumagalli's gone? He's gone?
I don't know.
He's with the Pats now?
Is he?
No more high knees?
No more high knees.
No more warm-up drills? I mean, that's the best we've seen.
Yeah.
Guy can...
His calves are sculpted, dude. All right.
That was a running back. Fumagalli didn't have sculpted calves.
He did too.
Did he too?
But you're thinking of Theo Riddick.
Yeah.
Those were chiseled calves.
Top five all time.
Top three.
Phil Mickelson looks at his calves and says, whoo.
Yeah.
Those are some calves.
Great calves. The entire landscape of college athletics is changing. We'll tell you what you need to know from today's landmark ruling coming out of Washington next.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents Stokely and Zach.
Luda!
Oh my God.
That and the area codes and the number one spot.
Oh, my God.
Like my favorite. Shut up.
What are we talking about?
Oh, my God. I hate you. Oh, my God. pay him no mind, folks. Do not text into the RamosLaw.com text line 303-713-1043. The entire landscape of... Oh, Mr. Herder just got back to me.
Oh.
The whole family enjoyed it.
Wow. Love it.
It's awesome.
Thank you, John. Shout out to
Kevin Herder.
Yeah, Kevin Herder.
Monster.
That's awesome.
Monster. All right. The entire landscape of college athletics is changing. This is a big day for college athletics. Some folks think that it's a bad day. A lot of folks think it's a good day and a progressive day. But regardless of what your exact opinion on it is a landmark ruling coming out of Washington, D.C. this morning. I'm going to quote the Associated Press here. In a ruling that could help push changes in college athletics, the Supreme Court today unanimously sided with a group of former college athletes in a dispute with the NCAA over rules limiting certain compensation. The high court ruled that NCAA limits on the education-related benefits that colleges can offer athletes who play Division I basketball and football can't be enforced. Now, the case doesn't decide whether student athletes can get paid salaries. Instead, this ruling will help determine whether schools decide to offer athletes tens of thousands of dollars in education-related benefits for things such as computers, graduate scholarships, tutoring, studying abroad, internships. As a result of the ruling, the NCAA itself can't bar schools from sweetening their offers to Division I basketball and football players with additional education-related benefits. But individual athletic conferences can still set limits if they choose. A lawyer for the former athletes had said before the ruling that he believed if his clients won, quote, very many schools, end quote, would ultimately offer additional benefits.
Well, of course they would. I mean, look how this is why facilities became a boom. And it became like a race to have the best facilities because one team started doing it. And then all of a sudden another team did it. Now you had to keep up with the Joneses.
You're on it, man.
So what's going to happen here? One team's going to provide it and say, you know, here, we'll give you computers and this, et cetera, et cetera. And if another team's not doing it, well, where's a kid going to go if it's coming down to those two schools?
Right.
He's going to go to the school that's giving them all this free stuff. Duh. He's talking about 18-year-olds. I mean, that's where they're going to go. They got these great facilities, and they're giving me all this stuff.
Right.
I think it's opened a Pandora box. I've been saying it. I don't like it. I know a lot of people do. I mean, I went to college 5 years. I ate like crap, had awful facilities, awful food. I went to a small school. I mean, how I look at the small schools, how are they going to survive? Is it going to be a big pool from the NCAA, going to be giving everybody the same amount of money? You know, like, you don't have the resources at Louisiana Lafayette that they do at Alabama.
Right.
You know, you're right. Not on a level playing field. So how are the smaller schools going to survive? I guess they'll figure it out. We'll see what it looks like. I'm very skeptical of it. I think once you open this Pandora's box and you start paying guys and giving them gifts and stuff, like there's going to be like a no holds bar kind of bar type of thing where it's just money will just be, you know, boosters, all that stuff. I mean, a lot of players will be bought. But that's kind of the direction that we're heading. So I just kind of, I'm very leery of that.
Yeah. I understand that. I understand that there'd be some like trepidation, like what is this going to look like? We're already past the point where it's going to look like anything that it has looked like. Like this is changing. The whole landscape is changing. This latest ruling is a domino. That's what it is for me. It's just if you're going to win cases like this, you're going to win other cases like this. Sure. In the court, they have something called precedent. And if you're unanimously winning these cases against the NCAA, it's reasonable to forecast that you're in the fast lane now. This ruling today, which isn't about paying the players, it's about essentially like anything that falls under the umbrella of an education-related benefits. They use example like computer, graduate scholarships. In the past, like if you're a graduate student, your athletic eligibility is typically gone unless you use an extra year. Now that's on the table. They say tutoring, but they also say studying abroad. Like if you're pitching a 18-year-old, like, hey, you know, come to our school, we're going to send you to Rome. Oh, you want to go to Italy? Oh, we can send you there too. You know, stuff like that, that is just new stuff that is on the table. But really the big one in conjunction with this is the name, image, likeness. I don't know if you saw some of the whispers that were coming out after Coach K retired. It was that he was on the fence, and then it was like the name, image, likeness stuff is going to be front and center, and he found that as the perfect time to say, I'm tapping out now as this new frontier is just getting started. Because in the past, players have always gotten paid under the table. Now it's a transaction that's over the table, and it won't be money in a McDonald's bag. It's the promise of, hey, you come to CU and we're going to get you an endorsement with, you know, Sean Ponda. And that's like going to happen. It's already set up. There's money waiting for you. So, man, it is a totally new world. That's for sure. What does college athletics look like in a decade, in two decades? I don't know, but the changes are.
That's what I don't like. That's what I don't like. I don't know what it's going to look like.
Yeah.
Because I like college sports. I like watching it. But I think when you start opening this door in the Pandora's box to giving money and, you know, doing the likeness stuff with an 18-year-old, what does that do to an 18-year-old if all of a sudden, you know, you get 20 grand cash, right? Just like dropped on you, bam. Are you still have the same work ethic? Will you still be the same person that you would have been if it was just like still a grind? You know, what you're saying about starving, there's only one way.
There's only one version of being starving.
Right. Right. And all
that's
of a sudden,
starving.
You're not, you know, you lose that drive because you got all this money in your pocket. You got a new car you're driving around. And it's just like, I think, you know, you're talking about 18, 19-year-olds. And I'm trying to picture myself if I, you know, was there. And
yeah,
all of a sudden
you would have had two gold chains.
Two of them things. I had a little bit bigger 14. But, you know, what would I have done?
No, exactly. Exactly.
You know, who knows? 50 grand, 100 grand in, you know, in the bank account with a car and like, wow, okay. Things are changing. I mean, that's just, all right. I just, I'm not a big fan of it. But that's just the way that we're going with the money that the NCAA is making, these TV deals that you're seeing. It's just like, it was a snowball effect, and I just worry about schools like mine. Sure.
You know, like
sure.
how are they going to compete with these other programs? And I don't know what that looks like. So it's a little bit makes me nervous. But we'll see. We'll see what it looks like.
Time will tell. Time will tell. Okay. DeMarcus Ware said that Von Miller and Bradley Chubb are capable of combining for blank sacks. Is the number he threw out there attainable in 2021? I'll tell you what that number is, and we'll discuss it coming up next.
It's Stokely and Zach on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
All right, our guy DeMarcus Ware.
You got a little correction you need to make, I think. A little house cleaning, right?
A little house cleaning?
Yeah, when you did the Rome and the Italy thing.
Yeah?
Yeah, a lot of people calling you out. They're like, Rome is part of Italy.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, and it still is. It hadn't changed. They're like, you know, I think Rome is in Italy.
Is it?
Yeah. So
Rome is in Italy, huh?
Yeah, you need to use two different...
countries. Rome's the capital of Italy.
Yeah. So.
Oh.
Yeah.
That boy's wicked smart.
Mm-hmm.
Learn something new every day.
That's right. That's right.
Honestly, in the recesses of my mind, I did know that.
Of course you did. Rome, Italy. Right?
I surely asked that question at trivia.
It's like the Vatican and stuff like right around
the
there.
The Vatican,
right?
I believe, actually speaking of trivia in this conversation, I'll take the L on that, by the way.
Yeah, big L. I mean, it's a huge L. I mean,
uppercase.
Like Rome, Italy.
Yeah.
I even knew that.
Yeah. Well, you didn't step in and say anything.
Well,
and
because...
If you, of all people, had an opportunity to pounce on me, you would have done it.
I know, but I wasn't
actually,
even...
You're with me on this one. To a degree. You're my sidekick. I'll take the uppercase L, and you're the lowercase L.
I was thinking about something else. I wasn't paying attention to what you said. How about that?
Well, you should have been.
Well, I wasn't.
I'm your co-host here talking to you.
I know, but I was thinking about what I was going to say next. Oh. Not what you're rambling about some out-of-state countries.
The Vatican, I believe, out-of-state countries. Oh, save that audio.
What's going on?
That's an out-of-state country.
Yes.
That's how you know it's far out there.
That's right.
It's an out-of-state country.
Way far. Over those oceans.
The Vatican, I believe, because the Vatican, I want to say, is like considered a, like its own country. And I believe it's...
It is. Exactly. It's its own territory.
And like in terms of like geographical footprint, like surface area, it's the smallest country because that's the smallest country in the world.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yes.
Smallest state capital by geography in the United States?
Probably up there where you live.
Mm-mm. Up there where you live.
Where you from?
No, it's Annapolis, Maryland.
There we go.
There you go.
I knew that. I should have known that.
Most populated state capital in America.
See, this one, it gets fun. Most populated.
It's got to be the state capital.
Man, I've dropped the ball on my state. I knew that in seventh grade, Miss Cross history. I knew I was on it, knew them all. Studied my rear end off and got a perfect 100. But I've dropped the ball here. Recently.
I believe it is Phoenix, Arizona.
Wow.
And the fun fact about that is Phoenix is the only state capital to have 1 million people or more living in the city proper.
The city proper. I thought it was Scottsdale. It's Phoenix, huh?
Okay. Phoenix. All right. Getting us back on track here.
Let's go. Back on track. What did DeMarcus Ware... I want to guess. Can I guess? I haven't looked at the rundown, but he did put a number on it?
Yes, DeMarcus Ware said that Von Miller and Bradley Chubb are capable of combining for blank sacks.
Combined. Like, because a couple years ago, Zach Bye said they would combine for 58 sacks.
I never said that. I was high on the duo, though. I was high on him.
It came crashing down really quick. Unfortunately. Okay, let me. How about this number? I'm just gonna, because if he says it, I don't think he's gonna say like 31 or 33. So I think it's gonna be kind of a even number. You know, one of those like, okay, it's gonna be 30 or maybe 35. I know 35 is not an even number, but you follow me there? Yes or no?
Yes, I got you.
Okay. All right.
Like a round number. Like 35.
Yeah. Like the round number.
Yeah. Like an even number, like 35.
Mount Pelear. Vermont, smallest state capital by population.
Correct.
The Mount Pelier?
Montpelier has the smallest population among state capitals. That wasn't the question.
That wasn't the question.
I said the smallest state capital by geography, because we were talking about the Vatican.
Right.
I said the geographical footprint is Annapolis.
Yes.
But yes, that texter is right. The least populated state capital is Montpelier. I was
30.
I was holding that in my pocket for hour three, and you ruined it, 303.
30. I'm going to say he said 30, which I think would be a good number. If somebody gets 16, the other person has to get 14. There you go.
That's how that works.
15-15. Hey, you ready? 17-13. 18-12. How about that? That'd be pretty good.
That'd be pretty good.
All right. What number did DeMarcus, did he go a little bit higher than that?
He said, quote, and we're talking about DeMarcus where forecasting Von Miller, Bradley Chubb. He said, quote, I want to see that back again because I know how much havoc they can wreak. They can probably get 30 sacks. You're on the money.
Woo!
You're right on the head. Yes. They can probably get 30 sacks.
No credit for that or anything? I mean,
I say you hit it right on the head. I got it.
Like, you know, say great picks, great guess.
Well, you're just.
Shall I break it? I broke it down.
So far in this segment, you've used the phrase an out-of-state country and called 35 an even number.
No, I didn't.
Let the congratulations come naturally, okay?
I didn't call 35 an even number. I said it's going to be an even number or, you know, I know 35 is not an even number, but you know what I'm talking about, like 30 or 35, okay? That's
you
what I said.
You cleared it up after.
I cleared it up before because I didn't want any confusion.
DeMarcus Ware went on to say, talking about Von Miller, quote, he's actually leaned all the way back up again, and I see the speed that I got to see when I played with him. I see that guy back this year. It's not the brute strength, like, let's run this dude over attitude. No, I'm just going around you. Dip and rip, I'm going to get to the quarterback, end quote. That was last week on DenverBroncos.com. What do you make of the number 30? Is that an attainable number for Bradley Chubb and Von Miller?
Well, look, we got 17 games this year. I have said that I'm expecting Von to have 14-15 sack season. Can Bradley Chubb get to that mark? We know Von can. I don't know if Von can anymore, but we know he can. And that's my expectation for him, is right around 15. I don't think Chubb can get there.
Interesting.
For some reason, I don't think Chubb can get there to that 15 sack mark.
Is there something something you can point to, anything?
Yeah, a lot. I mean, he hasn't looked the same since his rookie year. I mean, what else do you want me to say? I don't want to just sit here and bash on Bradley Chubb.
No.
But he only got 8 last year.
Yeah.
Now, you can flip it around and say, well, this is going to be another year removed from that ACL. He's got a whole year just to work out. And, you know, we should see him at his best like we saw his rookie year where he had 12?
12 and a half.
12 and a half. So, you know, hopefully that upticks a little bit more. But, you know, it's a big year for Bradley Chubb, and we'll talk about it more.
30-second timeout. We've been referring to Bradley Chubb as having 8 sacks. He had 7.5.
Oh,
and I swear I thought it was 8, but
are you sure? Because you have said 8 many times. That's what I've gone off of. So you're taking this L again.
No,
it's been a tough start to the week for you.
No,
Zach. It's
no,
been a tough start.
I believe that it was 8, but I think maybe it's been changed. I'm almost positive.
How's it changed?
Like a stat correction?
What 6 months after the season?
Probably not.
Correction.
Right?
Like, what?
But according to ESPN.com and Pro Football Reference, it was 7.5 sacks for Chubb.
And he got voted to the Pro Bowl.
Correct.
It's kind of weird. Well, that's why I say that. I think that's a hard number. I think Von would have to go. It would have to, if for them to get to 30, Von would have to get to at least 16. Maybe 17. 17, 13, 16, 14. But I don't see that happening. I don't see them combining for 30. Both of them have to stay healthy.
Yeah.
I mean, and that we haven't really seen that ever. Have we seen it at all between the two of them, really?
Their first year together. So when in 2018,
that's right,
Chubb's rookie season, he had 12. And Vaughn.
14 and a half?
Had 14 and a half.
Yeah. So that's 26 and a half there.
That's
really good. I mean, both of them performed really well. That's really good.
It's really
good. See them a few years later? I don't know. I'm expecting Vaughn to have a great year, but at the same time, he's improvement mode, right?
Definitely. Definitely.
So that would, if they combine for 30, that's a, I don't want to say a special year, but that's a great year. Trending towards special.
I think it'd be damn near special. I mean, if two teammates combine for 30 sacks, that's unbelievable. I mean, forget the total number.
Yeah, you're right. Special.
Forget the total number. When we were talking about 2018 and we just said Vaughn had 14 and a half and Chubb had 12, I'm like, wow, that's an awesome duo. And that combines for how many? 26?
26 and a half.
26 and a half. You're still, a handful of sacks away from 30. Like, 30 might be too lofty. It might be too lofty, but I think it's still within the realm of possible.
I don't think
it's crazy.
Like you said, it's a special year. I mean, it's going to be hard to get there. That's not the number I'm putting on him. Cause I'm putting Vaughn, at around 14, 15 sacks. So if they could get to that 26 to 27 range between the two of them, now we got an extra game this year.
Yes, very true.
So
very true.
But if they could get to 26 or 27 combined, right around there, I think that's a really, really good year. 15 and 12, because that means Chubb's going to have to get to double digits, which means he's heading in the right direction.
Chubb should absolutely be in double digits. Anything less than double digits for Bradley Chubb in year four, a season after the season he came back from injury, if he's single digits here as a fifth overall pick, I mean, I don't want to put any projection on Bradley Chubb that doesn't belong there. Saying double digit sacks for Bradley Chubb, that should be not only like reasonable, that should be the floor for this guy.
He had 7.5 last year. Now, he didn't play in every game.
He didn't play in every game, and it was the season coming off of an injury. If you can't get there in the second season coming off major reconstructive surgery, golly, Stoke.
You're right.
If it's single digits for another year in a row here, he's either banged up and not healthy or falling seriously below the expectation that he came into the league with and started to fulfill it. This guy was 12 sacks as a rookie right out of the gate, like me on a Monday saying KKFN, KKFN, HD1, Longmont, Denver.
Is somebody telling you something? Because you've never been on it like you have. Like, what's going on here? How have you've never been, like, so checked in on this? Why all of a sudden in the past week have you been checked in? I mean, do we need to investigate something going on here?
John didn't say anything to me. My wife just said, being present.
Uh-huh.
As I'm get around this time, and I just want to be present, be in the moment, have an awareness, and when the clock strikes, I want to strike with it.
I know. You've been doing a good job of it. So I'm just trying to, all of a sudden when things change, you kind of start asking questions.
You think I got a buzzer in me?
I don't know what's going on.
A buzzer in me? Like Jose Altuve, one of your favorite players.
Yes. Something's going on with you. I don't know what it is. Can we get an investigation in here, Raj? I want to start investigating is going on. How all of a sudden have you been on top of this? Right?
People grow.
I guess.
But back to Chubb, I'm on the verge of saying, because see, what people said this year was like, well, he doesn't have Vaughn on the other side. And then the year before that, it was like, Vaughn can't be Vaughn because he doesn't have Chubb on the other side. If these guys are out there together, in a 17 game season, in a 17 game slate, honestly, none of these guys should be single figures in sacks. And I know it's not all about sacks, but you should be around the ball enough where you're getting there. If they are what we expect them to be.
Yeah.
Chubb was the fifth pick and you're still paying Von Miller the sixth highest mark on the defensive side of the ball. So honestly, the expectations, 30, probably too lofty, but I'd say the floor with this conversation, if both guys are out there and available, 24, I think is a reasonable bar.
Yeah, absolutely. I was going to say 25. I mean, that's 13 and 12, 14 and 11. I mean, and there really is, I hate the, well, Von wasn't there for Chubb, or Chubb wasn't there for Von. Like, what? Why? I mean, is that what it takes now to be a good pass rusher? You got to have a somebody on the other side? I mean, just go do it. Just go do it. You know, I mean, that's really what it boils down to. So hopefully they both are on the field this year together. But if not, it doesn't matter. Like, there's a lot of teams with just one pass rusher. It's hard to get two premium pass rushers on a roster.
But that's supposed to be an element of this defense that could make it special.
That's right.
It's like, pick your poison. With this defense, honestly, there's not one element of it that, you know, and I should slow down a little bit here. You talk about inside linebackers and where those guys rank league-wide. There's probably some room to grow there. But the guys up front, the guys coming off the edge, and the guys in the secondary are all terrific. And if they're playing complementary football in a 17-game season, there's really no, unless we're just collectively lowering our expectations. Like, this should not be a hot take, talking about Bradley Chubb and Von Miller getting to 24 sacks combined.
No.
Like, that's you know.
No. Here's one that I'm just going to throw out there. It's not my words. RamosLaw.com text line. Is Chubb overrated? And I'll answer that.
Miss any of Stokely and Zach? Make sure to subscribe to our on-demand podcast. You'll get every episode as soon as they're released. Just subscribe wherever you get your podcasts or at 1043thefan.com.